Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
For Doug Compton, and then at 4 o'clock will be our regular Saturday evening service. There's going to be a celebration dinner July 9th, to celebrate our new beginning. And there's a sign-up sheet out in the gathering area if you would like to bring in a dish of your choice. And I think that's pretty well. They're going to have a float July 4th, and they need candy individually wrapped, no chocolate. It'll be dropped off in the gathering area. And they need volunteers to ride on the float as well. And you can contact Bonnie Hartley and her. I would imagine you all have this here in your bulletin this morning. And she has a phone number, 989-362-8208, if you have any questions about that. Vacation Bible study is going to be in another week. If you know any children in grades 3, 4, and 5, bring them. I'm north of 80, and I can remember as a small boy going to Bible school and to learn about Jesus. And it's one of the best things that you can do for a child, and they'll remember that for the rest of their life. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sean. He'll lead us in our first song, and then remain standing for our call to worship.
Let's stand and sing together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Concerns and our worries, Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you give us as we gather here in your sanctuary. And we give thanks for the people you send to us in our time of need, for the comfort they offer. May we in turn be faithful to comfort others as well. We know your timing is always right, and your answers to our prayers are what is best for those we pray for. And we lift those, Father, this day who are dealing with health issues. And we ask as the healing takes place, they would feel your presence with them. We pray for all the ones that lost lives in this broken world that we're living in, Father, all the violence that's taking place. And sometimes we get overwhelmed and we don't even know how to word our prayers, Father, but you know our thoughts and you know our hearts. And we just ask, Lord, that some good would come out of this, and that we pray in your will as well. And now we lift the prayer you gave your disciples so long ago and say, Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Thank you.
Let's look at a few reasons this morning. He sent Jesus down to show us what God is like. All through the centuries, the prophets went up and down through the land saying, what is this God? Who is he? What does he know about us frail human beings? Show us the Father, or show us the Son, and that'll be sufficient. So, Jesus came, he loved, he served, he suffered, and he said, the Father and I are one. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He's a perfect mirror of God. Now it's true that we can see God in nature. In Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Who can look at the sun and the moon, the rivers and the trees, and the oceans, and say, there is no God? And the Bible answers this very question in Psalm 14. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. And we find in Matthew that he tells us the heart is evil. We see God in the Bible. It's his love letter to each of us. He's on every page. If you really want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He was sweet, merciful, loving, forgiving, and yet he was just, wise, rewarding, and punishing. When you look at him, you must say, I know what God has looks like because I've seen it in the face of Jesus. God sent down Jesus to teach us how to live. History doesn't teach us how to live. Science doesn't teach us how to live. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, this is the way. Walk in it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Sermon on the Mount is simply teaching us how to live. Do you want to know how to treat your family? Let Jesus teach you. You want to know how to treat others? Let Jesus teach you. You want to know how to treat your church? Let Jesus teach you. It takes the love of Christ in a person's heart to enable that person to live for Christ. Do you feel that your service is little, that you do for Christ? It's small compared to what others are doing? Let me tell you a story of a couple who had two lovely daughters. They loved dearly. But they had prayed and prayed for a son. And in time, that son came. Beautiful child. They loved him. But before long, they realized that he was mentally challenged. His body grew, but not his mind. And one day, the father was coming home from a long trip. And the little girls wanted to do something to thank him. And so they went up and picked a bunch of flowers. And they ran to meet him and they picked him up in their arms. And the little boy, he wanted to do something to show his happiness at his father coming home. But all he knew to do was pick up some straws and sticks. The father notices. He put the little girls down, and the little boy ran to him, and he picked them up and he said, bless you, my son. These are the most beautiful gifts in the whole world. So often we feel that our service to God is like sticks and stones compared to what others are doing. But we're only to do our best, whatever that is, and when we do, God will say, well done. Luke 19:10 tells us why Jesus was sent down to us. It says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And it took every last drop of his blood, his last ounce of energy, the last bit of himself, to save us. look at Jesus as he suffers and dies on that cross, and we have to say, I belong on that cross, for I'm a sinner, but he's dying there that I might live. The greatest day in anyone's life is the day he gives himself to the one who saves and keeps forever. And this is the main reason that God opened the windows of heaven and sent Jesus down to earth. God opened the windows of heaven a second time, and he sent us the Holy Spirit. Before he went away, Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to dwell with his people forever. And so on the day of Pentecost, he came in great power. And today that Holy Spirit is the God who operates and abides in us over our hearts. But what is it that he just does? What is it that he really does? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Jesus said he would come and convict of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. There was a time when we just went around not thinking of our sins or our consequences, and the Holy Spirit rested on us and appointed us towards the Savior. It made us feel our guilt, and if he had not convicted us, we would have never felt the need for a Redeemer. The Holy Spirit puts God's seal on us. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit puts God's seal on us. And it's telling us that all the angels in heaven, the devils in hell, and the forces of this earth can never take us away from him. We're his forever. The Holy Spirit gives us power for service. Whatever you try to do in your own strength is bound to fail. But whatever you do in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit help is sure to succeed. If you've never had any great sorrow come to your life, it will. It's only a matter of time. That black cat kneels at every gate. When that happens, who's going to comfort you? Not your friends, not your cards of sympathy, not your flowers. Only God's Holy Spirit is the great comforter. When you lay to rest the body of the one most dearest to you, that becomes the saddest hour of your life. But as you ride home, you hear the whisper that God's grace is sufficient, and that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that you will see your loved ones again. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance in our choices. Often in life we come to a crossroad. What are we going to do? We don't know what to do. If we go in prayer, he will lead us the right way. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. We can ask for understanding, enabling us to persevere by giving us eyes to see what God wants, and it helps us to face our troubles at various times. One day God was going to open the windows of heaven again and send his son Jesus back. And the people of faith love to study about this. It's mentioned 318 times in the New Testament alone. And many prophecies concerning his returns has already been fulfilled. So his coming must be near. And it's going to take his presence to straighten up this world that we're living in. And thinking of his coming back, let's put your thoughts around the letter R, his return. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That comes from John 14:2-3. When Jesus went up to heaven on a cloud, The disciples stood there with their mouth open and tears running down their eyes. Their best friend was going away. The two men in white stood beside him. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see leave, taken up from you, is going to return in the same manner that he left." Who can ignore such a plain statement as that? What preacher can leave the second coming out of his preaching when you read these two statements? There will be a resurrection. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All believers in Christ shall rise up to meet him in the air. And when he comes, and speaking of miracles, when Jesus changes our old bodies that's so broken and unable to do the things that we'd like to do, that's going to be the biggest and best miracle of it all. When Jesus takes the body of Christians dead, there's still going to be some believers walking on the earth. And Jesus is going to snatch them up to be with him. Now this is called the rapture. You won't find that word in the Bible, but it means joy, happiness, or bliss. Jesus is going to use this method to get his children out of the world before that awful time of judgment. And the bodies of the living Christians will also be transformed on their way up. And for all that we have done for Jesus, he's going to reward us. And you can find that in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're told of that reward. If we work to serve our own glory, those rewards is going to be burnt up. They're nothing. If you serve for God's glory, our work is going to be like gold, silver, and precious stones, in which cannot burn. And for that, we shall be rewarded. Even when you're not rewarded, your salvation is still secure. You're still saved. And it says, in Revelation 19, it says, we shall sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't know what that's going to be like, but we know a marriage supper is a time of rejoicing with the bridegroom. The bride and possibly the Old Testament saints are honored guests. And all will be filled with joy as they bask in the presence of the Lamb who was slain for redemption. And then after a period of time in glory with Jesus, he's going to come back to earth and bring all of his people with him. And we'll reign for him for 1,000 years. And then the unsaved will be brought up before the great white throne of judgment. And their eternal punishment will be determined. Are you ready for that day to come? If not, you need to get ready. You need to turn from your sins and unbelief and turn to Jesus Christ the Savior. God has been good to us. He opened up the windows of heaven and sent his son Jesus down to save us. Then he opened up the windows of heaven again and sent down the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. And one day he'll open up the windows of heaven and send his son back to take us up to be with him forever. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true. Jesus loves you. And that love in your life can make all the difference in this world and the world to come. So I'd like to just leave you with this question. What are you doing with this Jesus? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to us, and that he paid the ultimate price so we could have eternal life through the shedding of his precious blood. Speak to the hearts of those who have not drawn close to you, that they may also have the joy and peace only you can give. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, wait upon us for our offering in the noisy offering today is going to be taken for Vacation Bible School.
And I repented.
Father's name, now and forever. Amen.